Hello, dear friends, and welcome. And a special happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. We are so, so grateful for you. Now, let's turn to God as we open with a word of prayer. Oh, dearest Lord, as we gather today, we pray a special prayer for mothers everywhere and for the special challenges they've faced over this last year. May they feel our gratitude and our support, even as we pray for brighter days ahead. As we come to you in worship, we pray that your word might speak to us in ways that heal us, strengthen us, and open us to your leading and your wisdom. Help each of us as we seek to become the people you've created us to be. Fill us and feed us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let's welcome Nathan Drake as he leads us in song.
And I will hasten to and hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. And I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. So that I may gain Christ, sharing his suffering, sharing his raising, granted a brand new life. And I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
They said Captain Cornelius, a God-fearing man well known for his fair play, ask any Jew in this part of the country, was commanded by a holy angel to get you and bring you to his house so he could hear what you had to say. Peter invited them in and made them feel at home. The next morning, he got up and went with them. Some of his friends from Joppa came along. A day later, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had his relatives and close friends awaiting with him. The minute Peter came through the door, Cornelius was up on his feet greeting him, and then down on his face worshiping him. And Peter pulled him up and said, "None of that. I'm a man and only a man, no different from you." Well, talking things over, they went on into the house, where Cornelius introduced Peter to everyone who had come. And Peter addressed them. "You know, I'm sure that this is highly irregular. Jews just don't do this, visit and relax with people of another race. But God has just shown me that no race is better than any other. So the minute I was sent for, I came. No questions asked. But now I'd like to know why you sent for me." Well, Cornelius said, "4 days ago, at about this time, mid-afternoon, I was home praying, and suddenly there was a man right in front of me, flooding the room with light. And he said, 'Cornelius, your daily prayers and neighborly acts have brought you to God's attention. I want you to send to Joppa to get Simon, the one they call Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner down by the sea.' So I did it. I sent for you, and you've been good enough to come. And now we're all here in God's presence, ready to listen to whatever the master put in your heart to tell us. Peter fairly exploded with this good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. The message he sent to the children of Israel, that through Jesus Christ, everything is being put together again, well, he's doing it everywhere, among everyone. You know the story of what happened in Judea. It began in Galilee after John preached a total life change. Then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. He went through the country helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down with the devil. And he was able to do all this because God was with him. And we saw it all. Everything he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem where they killed him and hung him from a cross. But in 3 days, God had him up, alive, and out where he could be seen. Not everyone saw him. He wasn't put on public display. Witnesses had been carefully handpicked by God beforehand, us. We were the ones there to eat and drink with him after he came back from the dead. He commissioned us to announce this in public, to bear solemn witness that he is, in fact, the one whom God destined as judge of the living and dead. But we're not alone in this. Our witness that he is the means to forgiveness of sins is backed up by the witness of all the prophets. No sooner were these words out of Peter's mouth than the Holy Spirit came on the listeners. The believing Jews who'd come with Peter couldn't believe it, couldn't believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on outsider non-Jews. But there it was. They heard them speaking in tongues, heard them praising God. And then Peter said, "Do I hear any objections to baptizing these friends with water? They've received the Holy Spirit exactly as we did." And hearing no objections, he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay on for a few days. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Have you ever felt like a total outsider? Ever been in a situation where you're not really sure that you were welcome? A journalist once asked famed writer Carl Sandburg, "What is the ugliest word in the English language?" Well, after a few minutes, Sandburg replied, "Exclusive." Of course, as Bishop Kenneth Carter notes, the ugliness of the word exclusive depends on whether we're among the included or the excluded. Many pride themselves on being members of exclusive clubs, living in exclusive neighborhoods, dining at exclusive restaurants, vacationing at exclusive resorts, even belonging to exclusive churches. Being an outsider, it carries a sense of pride and security, he said. But most of us have probably been excluded often enough to agree that exclusive is in fact an ugly word. When we are among the marginalized, the rejected, those left out, it hurts. Carter goes on to say that the conflict in the early church centered on the question of who is in and who is out. Are Gentiles to be included? Well, Peter and Paul debated that one until Peter had a dream and concluded that God doesn't play favorites. I think most all of us have experienced being the outsider. I know I have. Moving around a lot from an early age, being part of a family that was a little different in many ways, that didn't fit the acceptable norms. The list goes on. And the big question has always been, why? Why, if God created us all, why should anyone be considered less? Why should anyone be excluded? Recently, I watched a segment featuring comedian Jim Gaffigan on picking his favorite child. Maybe you saw it. Well, he has five amazing kids, and each one of them is so, so different. Well, it turns out he picked his dog, but that's another story for another day. The thing is, it got me thinking. As a parent, I can't begin to imagine a God who would create some of his children to be superior and others to be inferior. I mean, all of us are flawed. And even us flawed human parents want all of our children to flourish, to do well. Would any of us really want only some of our kids to have it all and others to end up in servitude and rejection? I don't think so. And I can't imagine God not wanting all of us to really thrive. Problem is that we humans can have a very different idea of what that looks like. One thing we know, God created us all very, very different. And that's actually a good thing, as you've heard me say many, many times. We need it. So why do we keep building walls? And how do we get past it? Well, first, I think it starts by recognizing and really believing God doesn't play favorites. And that's huge. I mean, it means that you and I don't have to compete with anyone or be better than anyone for us to have value. You just have to be your best, and I have to be my best. And much of our journey is just about figuring that out. I mean, who is God calling us to be? And what is God calling us to do with our lives? There have been a lot of turning points in my own life, but a particularly big one that I think of often was sitting one Saturday morning in one of my first seminary classes and feeling like I totally didn't belong. As I looked around, all I could see were all these smart, capable people, people who knew so much, who were doing so much. And then there was me, the failure. What was amazing was how God came into that moment with a very clear message to me. It was as if he was saying, stop comparing yourself to others. I created you to be you and them to be them. Focus on me and where I'm leading you. Let go of the comparisons. Let go of the need to be better than anyone but your old self. Did you hear that? We don't need to be better than anyone but our old self. We're meant to grow. We're meant to keep getting better. But that's where the comparisons end. And you know what? That moment set me free. Because when we're focused on everyone else and jealous of those who seem to have it better or seem to do it better, or when we have the need to feel that we're better than others, well, we lose. But when we truly believe that God doesn't play favorites, that God genuinely loves us all, and that we just have to focus on God and who God wants us to be, it changes everything. And I can't tell you how wonderful and how freeing it has felt to just let go of all those painful, competitive feelings. Now, the second way we get past those walls is to stop building them. When we limit our world to only those who are just like us, who look like us, who act like us, the list goes on. Well, we miss out on so, so much. Growing up moving around frequently and feeling like an outcast myself was actually a big advantage to me in many ways, unexpected ways for sure. It gave me unexpected opportunities and even pushed me to get to know others who were so different from me. And each and every one had a gift to share. I ended up learning and loving different languages, getting to know people of different cultures and backgrounds, hearing different stories. And though God had other plans, there was a part of me that, as a result, often wished that I could spend my whole life just moving from place to place, country to country, actually living in different parts of the world and getting to really know and better understand the gifts and the challenges and differences of each one. Because, you know, it's really beautiful. And while that never happened, God has continued to give me opportunities to meet diverse people who give me beautiful glimpses into their diverse world. The third way we get past the walls is to open up to God's leading and to be open to change, even when it seems to go against what we assume to be true. Peter listened. Cornelius listened. Peter even admitted, you know, I'm sure that this is highly irregular. Jews just don't do this, visit and relax with people of another race. But God has just shown me that no race is better than any other. So the minute I was sent for, I came, no questions asked. Hear that again. No race is better than any other. And we need to be reminded of that. In this time when innocent people are literally being attacked, are literally fearing for their very lives, just because of the color of their skin, just because their differences, we as God's people need to take that very, very seriously. And where we are privileged to be among the included, well, we need to take a stand on behalf of the excluded, even as we would want them to do the same for us. As the scriptures tell us, Peter fairly exploded with his good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. He said, God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. The door is open. We probably don't fully grasp how radical Peter's message was, but that message is sorely needed. Still today, it's sorely needed. Indeed, no race is better than any other, and God plays no favorites. And God is calling us not just to listen. God is calling us to take action. For if we are truly to live as those who love God and those who love others as ourselves, it's time to intentionally reach out across those differences. It's time for us to open ourselves up to God's leading and to change. It's time for us to stand up against what is wrong and do what is right. It's time, my friends, for us to build bridges and not walls. Let us pray. Loving Lord, as we gaze upon the beauty of the spring, we can't help but notice the wide variety of living, growing things, so beautiful and ever-changing. And we're reminded that when you formed the earth, you created us all in your image, regardless of race or color or gender. We know that there is so much we don't understand, dear Lord, and that in spite of our good intentions, we get a lot wrong. Forgive us for our defensiveness, for our judgment of others, for our desire to be better than others. Help us to lovingly reach out to all our brothers and sisters across our differences. Help us to be those who include and not exclude. Those who build bridges across our differences instead of walls that keep us prisoners and separate us from so much that is good in the world. On this day, we pray for all who are suffering in so many ways and for families who are separated and unable to be together. We pray with gratitude for the signs of hope we see, signs of pandemic receding, even as we continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in countries like India that are being hit so hard. As we witness the news around the world, we see so much pain, Lord. It would be easy for us to lose ourselves in discouragement, but we pray that you would remind us all that we have so much to be grateful for and that you will bring good out of it all. Continue to use us as your hands and feet in the world, Lord, and give us willing hearts to serve. On this day, we pray special prayers for our leaders, for wisdom, ethics, and compassion as we move forward. We pray for those serving in so many ways as we work to restore some sense of normalcy in our lives, with special prayers for those who feel exhausted and overburdened, for those who feel invisible and undervalued, for those fighting illness and poverty, addiction and depression, and so much more. May the challenges we face only strengthen us for your good work, Lord, and for all you would have us do. All these things we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, first and foremost, know, as we say so often, that we all fall short. But in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Each day, we have a chance for a fresh start. And my prayer is that we will start seeing those differences and not be afraid, that we will find ways to reach across to others, to include and welcome and not exclude. And that even as we are excluded, we will see that as a chance to grow in our compassion and to find ways to serve on behalf of others who are also excluded. And now, may you go in God's love, God's strength, and God's mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And God bless you.